Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, may our first thoughts of you be of your everlasting love for us, your compassionate and gracious abounding love that turns aside your anger and forgives our iniquities, that carries our sins farther than the east is from the west, so we may know compassion is always waiting for us creatures you formed from dust. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With the news of this past week, how does one begin? Taking the Bible, God's holy word, in one hand and holding the news of the day in the other hand, how do you make sense? We live in a fallen world. The reality of sin and the reality of evil is true. Humanity, man, is fallen. As the news trickles out, one thing is clear, and make no mistake about it, no matter what major news media outlets may say, or people in position of government at the highest office may say, Islamic Jihad was the mindset behind the action. Lone wolf or not, the worldview motivating the man was Islamic, with eye towards the reward of being a martyr. Christian apologist Al Fadi, who grew up Muslim, was interviewed on the Moody radio program In the Market with Janet Parshall this past week, specifically on June 16th. And Al Fadi, this is what he said. We ought to call it as it is. And it is Islamic. And why is it Islamic? Because Mateen, representing Islamic teachings, that he is adhering to and believes with all his heart that if he does what he did, basically that God is gonna accept him. And Al-Fadi later on would say, because in Islam, your work is not enough unless you die as a martyr. That's the only way you have guaranteed all your sins forgiven. No judgment on judgment day. You go straight to paradise. That is Al-Fadi, a former Muslim who is now a Christian and an apologist for the Christian faith. You see, in Islam, there is no guarantee of mercy or forgiveness. Not even a glimmer of grace in Islam. The word Islam means submission. They spend their entire life trying to submit, hoping that their good works will outweigh their bad works on Judgment Day, so that they may go to heaven. Not can they go to heaven, so that they may go to heaven. With Allah, there is no guarantee. The only way to guarantee to go to heaven is jihad. Often translated as holy war, but a more close meaning is exerting force for God. Martyrdom and jihad is the only guarantee of paradise. Islam is works. Christianity is the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Christ Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Christ Jesus has redeemed us. And this difference is huge. You and I don't have to earn our way to heaven. We are welcomed to heaven with open arms because of the spread arms and nailed hands of Jesus dying on the cross. There are no Christian suicide bombers. There are no Christians coming up to people of other faiths and trying to murder them. If a Christian were to do these things, that person would be outside the ways of the Christian faith. Christians are not destroying places of worship or historical artifacts of the past. But the groups of people that are doing these things, the common thread is Islam. Psalm 103, verses 8, 9, and 10. to draw your attention to our God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. The nature and character of God. I bring you back in years to Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, and the first part of verse 7. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, that is Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And as he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Exodus, Psalms, both teach us the Lord as compassionate and gracious. With the Exodus testimony being from the mouth of God, God speaking his name by speaking his character and nature. With the first description being compassionate and gracious. Now, with that image in mind, listen to the focal point of the parable of the laborers in the vineyard from Matthew chapter 20. It's verse 14. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. The main point is generosity. The generosity of grace of the kingdom of heaven. Where does that generosity come from? The nature and character of God. Compassionate and gracious. Let's unpack this more. The setting of the parable of the workers in the vineyard found in Matthew 20. The setting of that parable is found in Matthew chapter 19. And it's the rich young man has come to Jesus and asked Jesus, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus challenged the rich young man to give up all he had and follow him. That is to follow Jesus. The rich young man couldn't give up his stuff, so he went away unable to give it all up to follow Jesus. Jesus turns and teaches how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said that familiar phrase, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, they just became astonished. Who can be saved? Jesus answers, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That question the disciples asked, who can be saved, sets up the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. First thing in the morning, workers are hired. They agree to the wage of a denarius for the day, and they're sent into the vineyard. The third hour, there is no haggling. The landowner says, go and work, and I'll pay you what is right. The same at the sixth hour and the ninth hour. Then comes that 11th hour. The day is almost done. The work day is almost done. The landowner finds some still standing around. Standing around all day. No one hired them, so the landowner says, go, work in my vineyard. For that 11th hour, there's no mention of wages, no mention of the landowner will do what is right. It's just, go and work in my vineyard. The workday is done, time to pay the wages. Now, to get the feeling, the parable, imagine yourself as that first one hired. You bared the work of the whole day, especially the beating heat of the midday sun, sweating, aching, perhaps hungry too. And then you see the last ones hired. You notice them when they came. Why are they here? And then you notice them lining up to get paid. Why are they getting paid? And then you see them paid that denarius, that whole day's wages. Would not you expect to be paid more? Things are looking good. If he got that much, how much more will I get? I worked all day. I worked really hard. I'm going to get a bundle. Now think of yourself as the last one hired. You worked just 1 hour. Surprised you're even called to the table to be paid wages. And then a denarius is handed you. A full day's wages. Wow! Such generosity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The one who worked all day, hired that first in the morning, was getting envious, angry. He was grumbling. And this last one, thank you, thank you, thank you. Totally different responses. Gratefulness for generosity and grumbling at, and then the other grumbling at the generosity. At least that's how I would feel if I was put in that situation. Now, those feelings are not in the parable, except the first workers who are envious and grumbling. Now, first, we need to make one thing clear. This parable is not about labor or wages. This parable is not about economics, though people have used the parable in Matthew 20 to try to teach about economics, a lesson about just compensation. If you hear anyone, preacher, theologian, commentator, anyone, begin to use this parable as a launching point on economics and just compensation, be wise and do not pay attention at what is being said. For whatever's being said will be misusing the parable and the teaching would be false. Back to Matthew 19. Peter answers Jesus that they have left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus answers about the heavenly reward is different than earthly inheritance. That heavenly reward is eternal life. Now, did you notice there's bookends to this parable in Matthew chapter 20? Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And then Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The parable of the workers in the vineyard is about eternal life. It does not matter in what portion of your life you believe, as a young child, as a teen, as a young adult, middle age, or even on your deathbed. Whenever you come to believe, you will be given eternal life. And we, who have lived for Christ all our life, will not be disgruntled when a person with their last breath says, Jesus. We will celebrate with the hosts of heaven. We will celebrate with all the angels. A sinner has repented and believed in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Unmerited grace from God. Never complain about God's compassion and generosity in forgiving others. You see, we just don't comprehend, or we fail to remember the great price the Lord Jesus Christ paid on the cross for forgiving our sins. Our sins. Jesus died for our sins. The wrath of God for our sins. Encountered the love of God for us, who are made in the image of God, yet fallen, so that the grace of God can be poured out in generosity. That grace of God is expressed in that the totality of sin being forgiven forever. Sin is truly removed. It truly is removed as far as the east is from the west. There is no more sin debt to be paid. Christ Jesus paid it all. Remember that rich young man asking, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get, to obtain, to own, to possess eternal life?" And the answer is, there is nothing you can do. Eternal life is what Jesus gives. It's a free gift. John chapter 10, verse 28. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." John chapter 3, verse 36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." And then John chapter 17, verse 3. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This parable of the workers of the vineyard makes no economic sense, because the parable is about grace. It's about grace, which cannot be calculated as wages are calculated. The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life. The answer is, there's nothing we can do. There is no wages that can earn grace. Grace is given freely. Grace gives eternal life. So eternal life is not something earned. It is grace that opened the gates of heaven. So you cannot work your way into heaven, nor ever work your way into paradise. A little over 13 years ago, I was anxiously awaiting the birth of my first child. And as the child arrived, I was already filled with love. It's a girl. I loved my daughter from the very beginning. Before she could do any good works, before she could express any love back to me in any way, I loved her. And I always will love my daughter. On Father's Day, 13 years ago, I held my little girl over the waters of the baptismal font, pouring the water in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, for the Lord of heaven to be the Lord and Savior of my little girl. This imperfect father loves his daughter. How much more does the Father in heaven love my Marissa? And how much more does the Father in heaven love my Aria too? And how much more does the Father in heaven love you? Intimate, personal relationship of love, compassion, grace for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." What does this mean? What does this mean for you and for me and for all people? There is hope. There always is hope. It does not matter how great your sin is. There is hope for forgiveness of sin. Nor does it matter how ugly your sin is. There is hope. For God is compassionate and remembers we are made from dust. It does not matter how many years your sin has been in your life. The Lord will be gracious. Turn to Jesus and you will find a gentle heart full of compassion. God's grace is generous, always has been, and always will be. God's grace is generous. Compassionate and gracious is the Lord God. So, sinner, come. Come and be healed of your hurts, your pain, your lostness. Come, even at the 11th hour, come. The Lord will be generous with you. The Lord will be gracious. The Lord will be compassionate. Compassion and grace will be shown to you. All your sins forgiven. All your sins forgiven. That is the redeeming truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is for you. It is for you. Amen.